Good morning. How's everyone doing? I'm not fully convinced. Are we okay? Good. Yeah? It's Memorial Day weekend. It's a long weekend, you guys. We can all be in a good mood, can't we? Maybe? All right. I heard one very sad woo. But either way, it's so excited. I am truly honored and privileged to get to share with you guys this morning. And I'm going to start maybe a tiny bit different than how we normally do, which is by starting with just focusing on the verses that we're going to be focusing on this morning. Okay? So you can grab a Bible under the seat, or you can follow along on the screen behind you. We're starting in Matthew 7. We're continuing in the Sermon on the Mount, and this is starting in verse 9, and we'll be finishing up in verse 12. Jesus says this: "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." So I have a friend who lives this out beautifully. She's the kind of person who listens really well. She sends out these text messages where she asks you things like what your favorite colors are, your favorite flowers, your food, candy, the ways you like to spend your time. And she refers to these lists kind of over and over again as she looks for ways to help people feel seen, loved, and uniquely cared for. And she does this really quietly behind the scenes, not to draw attention to herself, but to shine a beautiful light of love on others in some really delightful ways. Her life is full of Holy Spirit-filled hospitality. And because she lives this way with such joy and kindness, you begin to notice how good it feels to be loved like that. And from that, it kind of makes you want to love others and make them feel that way as well. And here's the thing, she truly is a lovely human being, and she's a human being. We all are. I hope you have someone in your life, a person who really knows you, remembers the things that matter to you, and makes you feel really cared for. And even though, even this person included, right, we are all really imperfect people, we're all also made in God's image. So that means that even in our brokenness, we carry the capacity to reflect God's love. We get to offer in small and ordinary ways a taste of the kingdom of God to a world that is aching for kindness, love, and acceptance. So if we, limited, flawed human beings, can love each other the way that my friend does, how much more does God offer us this kind of love, kindness, and acceptance? So this morning, we're going to be wrapping up a series that we found ourselves in called For Their Best, Loving Like Jesus. We've been exploring how Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount aren't just knowing what's right, they're living it out. Jesus didn't just talk about love, he embodied it. He showed us what it looks like to actively seek the good of others with wisdom, humility, and courage. And he invites us into that same kind of life, one where love moves beyond good intentions into everyday actions that genuinely reflect his kingdom. So over the past few weeks since Easter, we've talked about things like the pain of hypocrisy and judgment and condemnation, the importance of discernment, and the invitation to pray by asking, seeking, and knocking. And today we'll talk even more about prayer and God's love and the trust that grows as we engage in relationship with him through honest communication. Because if we want to really influence others for their good, we must be rooted in God's extravagant goodness, letting it transform our motives and shape us into people who can radically love others the way we want to be loved. I've gotten to experience that kind of love through my friend, and maybe you have too through someone in your life. And these glimpses are just that, glimpses. If we're going to become people who treat others with the kind of radical, all-inclusive love of the kingdom of God, we have to start in the right place. Jesus wants us to know that God's goodness is deeper, richer, and more dependable than even the best parent, the best friend, or the best human we know. So we're going to begin by looking more closely at that goodness, and that's the kind of goodness that changes us from the inside out. But before we do that, I'm going to pray for us. So come, Holy Spirit. God, I do just thank you even this morning for the honor and privilege that it is for us to get to be together in community. And God, all of us are probably showing up a little bit differently. Maybe some of us are really excited to be here and so excited for like the beautiful sunshine. Maybe others of us are just here because we are checking some type of box that we feel like we should on a Sunday morning, and a myriad of other reasons. But God, for whatever reason we find ourselves together this morning, we trust that you have something for each of us. God, I pray that you would kindly and gently step on our toes a little bit, that you would transform us even more as we choose to say, come and have your way. God, show us what it looks like to open our hands up a little bit more to experiencing you, and from that, getting to live radically beautiful, generous, Holy Spirit-filled lives. Thank you, God. We know that every good thing we have is a gift from you. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Amen. All right, so we're going to start by talking about God's extravagant goodness. Have you ever noticed how persistent kids are when they want something? Maybe it's a toy. Megan just said, no, she's lying. She's a mom of four kids. Maybe it's a toy, a snack, or time with a friend. Even if the answer is no, they just keep asking. They don't give up Why? For probably a lot of reasons. One, because they'll eventually wear us down. But also it's because they're just really honed in. They're really focused. There's this unfiltered boldness in the way that kids ask. But something changes as we get older. I can't speak for you, so I can speak for me, but I hate asking for help. It feels uncomfortable and vulnerable. If there's something heavy to lift, I'll like push you out of the way and be like, no, I can totally do it myself. If I need something, I don't want to ask someone because it feels weak or I feel exposed or embarrassed. I hate asking my kids for help, like when I'm not feeling well or simply have a lot going on and could use some support around the house, because I'm their mom. I'm supposed to be the one who's providing for them. Or I hesitate to call a friend who already, in my mind, has plenty going on in their own life. Why add my stuff to their already incredibly full schedule? So instead, I categorize my problems. First world problem, minor inconvenience, not that big of a deal. And that's often how we approach prayer. We read passages like this and think, right, God gives good gifts to those who ask him. I need to pray for. I don't ask enough. Okay, I get it. I'll do better this week. We can get stuck in these cycles where we do this kind of navel gazing at our own shortcomings, focusing on only what we are or are not doing and focusing on what we lack. And as we do that, we're missing the bigger invitation in these verses. Again, this isn't first and foremost about us. It's about God. Jesus is revealing something important about God's character. He says, look, if we as flawed, imperfect humans wouldn't hand our kids a rock when they ask for bread or wouldn't hand them a snake when they ask for fish, then how much more will God, who is entirely good, give good gifts to those who ask? Many of us carry wounds, maybe from how we were raised or how we were treated in school, how life hasn't turned out how we imagined. Maybe we didn't get the job, the relationship ended, the success we thought would satisfy didn't, and slowly we become jaded. That childlike boldness in asking starts to fade. We think, why bother asking? I'll just be disappointed again. Last week, Doug preached on the verses that come just before this in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Those say, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. This is a reminder that God loves us and that he can be trusted. Jesus tells us that God wants us to ask for what we want. And we see Jesus model this characteristic of God throughout the stories of the gospel. As he engages with people with really obvious need, Jesus asks them really obvious questions. Like to the man at the pool of Bethesda who hasn't walked for 38 years, Jesus asks him this question in John 5:6. Do you want to get well? Bartimaeus is a blind man, and Jesus asks him in Mark 10, verse 51, what do you want me to do for you? Again, it's really obvious, Jesus. I haven't walked in 38 years. I'm blind. It is obvious what I want you to do. But he asks people what they want Because asking takes courage. It takes vulnerability. It takes faith. Asking means we have to name the thing that we actually desire. So in verse 11, back in Matthew 7, Jesus says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" And some of us might get stuck here on the word evil. Exactly. I'm broken. I'm messed up. Why would God give me anything good? And again, because of that, maybe many of us don't ask. But the Bible is filled with stories of people who are just as flawed as we are, people who sometimes make painful choices that hurt themselves and other people. And over again, God shows up with care and compassion. He meets people with kindness. He reveals who he is by how he responds to people in his perfect love. And so often we can read the Bible and consider some of these humans as having some kind of extraordinary faith. We imagine that we should be like them, and because there are so many kinds of people with so many kinds of qualities to emulate, we quickly become overwhelmed and hopeless and unsure of what example to follow. I'll never be like them, we might think, so why even try? The problem is we can sometimes read the Bible in a way it wasn't meant to be read. We're not expected to act like people. We're not expected to act like these heroes of faith we read about. We're invited to look at the amazingly good God who cares for us and invites us to live our lives connected to him so that he can transform us, he can guide us into the life he has given us. The point isn't how messed up we are. It's how good God is. Because even on our best days, the goodness we show to others is just a taste of the goodness God offers us. Jesus is saying, if we, as we are capable of giving good gifts, imagine how much more our Father in heaven gives to us. And he gives to those of us who ask. That part's important. There's something about that act of asking. It opens us up to relationship. It creates space for connection. And that's what prayer is. It's not a formula to get what we want. It's a conversation, talking and listening with a God who knows and loves us. And it can get tricky because some of us have asked and we didn't get what we asked for. Many of us have seen faithful people pray only to be met with silence or loss. And that makes it even harder to ask. And still, we're invited to ask, to come close, to remain connected in conversation. If you were here with us last Sunday, we did a bit of intentional asking. Doug made space for folks who needed physical healing to receive prayer right where we were, right in the middle of the message. And some incredible stuff happened. One woman shared that she had persistent knee pain, about a level 4 most of the time, and an 8 when climbing stairs. A young girl prayed for her, and the pain dropped, she said, for a 1 in kind of her regular movement and to a 4 for when she was climbing stairs. And I love this because she says, the healing was real, but even more than that, she was really touched by the whole experience. She's like, I can't even put onto the scale how much it meant to just get to be received or to get to receive prayer by this sweet girl. Another person also dealing with knee pain described that it was hard to put into numbers, but it was clearly noticeable, just kind of depending on the level of activity. And we get to hear from someone who experienced some healing last week. So I invited up my friend Norma. Norma's going to join us, and she's going to share a little bit, not only actually about her story, but about a story from a couple other folks that she got to chat with as well. Can you please join me in welcoming my friend Norma to the stage? Hi, Norma.
Hello.
So if you want to hold that up, Norma.
Yes.
You and your husband, Tom, have been a part of our community for a minute. Is that accurate?
Just a minute, yeah? Yeah, since 2001.
2001. You guys have been here longer than I've been alive. I'm just kidding. That would be amazing.
Probably.
That would be amazing. But Norma, you experienced healing yourself. Yes, what happened?
Yes, I have been battling with sinus headaches for quite some time, and I had quite a big sinus headache last Sunday. And so when Doug called for people to come up who had it, or to sit, who needed prayer, I raised my hand and I stood up. And Ruby Bourne and Barb Hemenway came over and laid hands on me and prayed for my headache and also for a growth that I have on my arm. And my headache started to break up. And as it broke up, I'm thinking, well, it's not completely gone. So we continue to pray a little bit. And through the day, actually, by the time we left the church that day, it was all gone completely. It was awesome.
Yeah. And you maybe have a couple other stories to share.
I have a story of someone in our small group who has been having issues with macular degeneration, serious issues, and has been receiving treatment for that, shots in his eye. And he went to the ophthalmologist last week and was told, after some testing, was told he didn't need that shot because his eyesight had improved to the degree where he didn't need it. And that was truly, truly a healing. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You have anything else?
I'd like to tell this story because this was a person that we prayed for that was a non-Christian that we went to visit. Sue Peterson and I went to visit. And we prayed for this lady. She had a massive brain tumor and had several surgeries for it and chemo and radiation. And it had come back. And there was almost no hope for her for it to go away. First, we prayed for her salvation, that she would receive spiritual healing for that, and she did. She didn't know the Lord at all. And then we prayed for that brain tumor to be gone, and it was gone. She went in for a PET scan. There was no more brain tumor at all. She had some memory loss due to the radiation they felt, but she was healed of that brain tumor. That was awesome.
Yay. Yeah. Thank you for sharing, Norma. Mm-hmm. Can you give her another round of applause? Thank you, thank you. All right, so again, guys, this is great. We get to celebrate stories like this where we ask, we sought, we knocked, and stuff happened. Guys, this is why we pray together every single week. This is why we make space for ministry time at the end of every service. Something happens when we approach God with childlike faith, filled with awe and wonder, and even a mustard seed-sized belief that he can actually do something. Yes, it's risky. Yes, it's vulnerable. And still, this is one of the places where we get to experience God's extravagant goodness. We don't know why some prayers are answers and others aren't this side of heaven. And if we're not careful, we can try to explain why the prayer wasn't answered. God trusts you. God has a purpose for your pain. Maybe. But sometimes the more honest thing to say is, we don't know why. And still, we choose to trust and believe that God is extravagantly good. There's this verse I think about a lot, and one that kind of annoys me, where Jesus says this out of John chapter 16, verse 33. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That can be a frustrating tension to live in. Jesus tells us this world is filled with trouble, and still we get to keep asking, we get to keep showing up. Not just to get the outcome that we want, but to remain connected to the one who has overcome the world with his life, death, and resurrection. Because we get to be reminded from him of that extravagant goodness. Every time we ask, even if the answer is slow and coming, we get shaped in the process. And that's where we're headed next. Because when we ask, the condition of our hearts gets revealed. Jesus tells us that God is a good father who gives good gifts to his children. what happens when we pray and we don't get what we asked for? In those moments, especially under pressure, our motivations and the condition of our heart is exposed. In the book of James, Jesus' brother James writes to followers of Jesus who are fighting and frustrated. James tells them this, and us, that our inner motives, what we really want, will get revealed. This is James 4, verses 1 through 3. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. Ouch. Sometimes the no we get in prayer isn't just disappointing, it's revealing. Again, prayer points us to God's extravagant goodness, and from that we learn both about Him and about ourselves. What can we learn about ourselves when we don't get what we ask for? God loves it, again, when we ask for absolutely anything. And not everything we ask for is good for us. As kids, most of us surely ask for candy all the time. If our parents had said yes every time we ask, we'd have no teeth and incredibly high cholesterol. Sometimes God's no is protection. But let's imagine some things we might ask for and why God might not give us those things. Maybe we ask God for a certain relationship to work out. We beg God to keep someone in our life, but what if that person might actually not be healthy for us? Maybe we ask for some type of platform or influence, like being famous or well-known, but we haven't maybe developed the character to handle it. We might ask to avoid pain or discomfort, but what if we avoid that pain and that actually stunts our spiritual formation? We might ask God to change someone else without being willing to change ourselves. We want God to fix others without seeing how maybe we are contributing to the issue. Maybe we ask for revenge or justice on our terms, praying that God would humble or punish someone rather than seeking healing and reconciliation. Maybe we ask for a job or promotion that looks amazing on paper, but that job could lead to burnout, pride, or distraction from the things that really matter. Or we ask God to remove the consequences of our poor decisions instead of feeling the weight of our sin and practicing repentance. And sometimes there is seemingly no explanation for why God wouldn't answer our really good and heartfelt prayers. There were some folks who asked for healing last week on Sunday and didn't receive it. Or we say things to God like, God, please save my friend's marriage. Please heal this child from cancer. Bring justice and peace to our divided country. Sometimes the lack of answer might be free will. God won't override another person's choices. And other times, painfully, and probably most often, we just don't know why God hasn't answered our requests. There's this beautiful moment in the TV show, The Chosen. It's a series that imagines what life was like for Jesus and his followers. In one episode, Jesus tells his disciples that he's sending them out to preach and to heal. And then one of the Jameses, the one they call Little James in the show, who has a physical disability, is confused and decides to talk with Jesus about this. So we're going to watch this clip together. It's a little long. It's about 6 minutes. So settle in and let's check this out together.
Master.
Little James.
May I have a moment?
Of course.
I am... Forgive me, I'm not always confident to speak.
Slow to speak. It's a very good quality.
Wanted to ask you a question.
Please.
So you're sending us out with the ability to heal the sick and lame. Yes, that is what you said.
Yes.
So you're telling me that I have the ability to heal. I just find that difficult to imagine with my condition, which you haven't healed.
Do you want to be healed?
Yes, of course, if that's possible.
I think you've seen enough to know it's possible.
Then why haven't you?
Because I trust you.
What?
Little James. Precious little James. I need you to listen to me very carefully. Because what I'm going to say defines your whole life to this point and will define the rest of your life. Do you understand? In the Father's will, I could heal you right now. And you'd have a good story to tell, yes?
Yes, that you do miracles.
And that's a good story. But there are already dozens who can tell that story. And there will be hundreds more, even thousands. But think of the story that you have, especially in this journey to come, if I don't heal you. To know how to proclaim that you still praise God in spite of this. To know how to focus on all that matters, so much more than the body. To show people that you can be patient with your suffering here on earth because you know you'll spend eternity with no suffering. Not everyone can understand that. How many people do you think the Father and I trust this with? Not many.
But the others, there's so much more.
So much more what?
I don't know. Stronger? Better at this?
James, I love you. But I don't want to hear that ever again.
I know how easy it is to say the Song of David. That I've fearfully and wonderfully made. But it doesn't make this any easier. And in this group, it doesn't make me feel like any less of a burden.
A burden? First of all, it is far easier to deal with your slow walking than it is to deal with Simon's temper. Trust me. Are you fast? Do you look impressive when you walk? Maybe not. But these are things the Father doesn't care about. You are going to do more for me than most people ever dream. So many people need healing in order to believe in me. Or they need healing because their hearts are so sick. That doesn't apply to you. And many are healed or not healed because the Father in heaven has a plan for them, which may be a mystery. And we remember what Job said. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you pass from this earth, and you meet your Father in heaven, where Isaiah promises you will leap like a deer, your reward will be great. So hold on a little longer. And when you discover yourself finding true strength because of your weakness, and when you do great things in my name, in spite of this, the impact will last for generations. Do you understand?
Yes. Thank you, Master.
A man like you, healing others. Oh, what a sight. I can't wait to hear your stories when you return.
Shalom, my son.
Shalom.
And James.
you will be healed. It's only a matter of time.
I love that show. Every time I watch it, my kids make fun of me because I like bawl throughout the entire thing. So I want to be careful with this clip. Again, this is an imaginative exploration of the life of Jesus. So even though this interaction is just that, imagined, it does show us something powerful to consider. James approached Jesus when he heard he and the other disciples would be able to heal. And he was honest with how he felt about his own physical condition and disappointment. When he asked, he told Jesus what he wanted and how he wanted to be healed, and he wasn't. He didn't get what he asked for. He honestly expressed his pain. And still, he followed Jesus. He still leaned in. Did Jesus' answer actually satisfy him? One wonders. How might this scene inspire some of us in our own experiences of unanswered prayer? Our hearts are also revealed when the heat is turned up. It's one thing to pray with pure motives when life is calm, but what happens when it's less than calm? What happens when there's a tragic car accident, a painful diagnosis, an unexpected job loss, a harsh word, or betrayal? Stress reveals what's in us. And it's in those moments our prayers can often reveal what we believe about God. Do we pray like he's distant, stingy, or indifferent? Do we beg or do we barter? God, if you just answer this one prayer, I swear I'll follow you better. I swear I'll really surrender to you and I'll never ask for anything ever again, I promise. We can start to spiral sometimes, can't we? Jesus knows what it's like to be in pain. He was betrayed by one of his followers. He was abandoned by them. He was misunderstood and falsely accused. He was humiliated and physically tortured. Jesus understands physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual pain. And when the heat gets turned up, when Jesus tells his friends he is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he turns to God in prayer, and what does he say? Matthew 26, 42. Jesus says, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." Jesus was under such intense stress that he sweat blood. It's a real medical condition called hematohidrosis. And still, he surrendered to the will of his Father. When life gets hard, we don't rise to the occasion. We default to our level of training. That's true in faith, in prayer, in life. That's exactly what we see Jesus do here. He's honest. God, surely if there is another way, please do it. And if not, may your will be done. Why could Jesus say this? Because he had a relationship with his Father built on trust and love. He knew God's extravagant goodness. He knew he could follow God's plan even when it cost him his life. That's why Jesus invites us to become like children, not childish, but childlike, dependent, confident in our Father's love, even in life's most difficult moments of pain and anguish. So when we pray, especially when we don't get what we want, when life is hard, what gets revealed in us? Are we more focused on avoiding pain than we are becoming like Jesus? Do we assume God is punishing us when life gets hard? Is trusting God conditional on our circumstances improving? Do we only believe God is good when things go our way? Do we pray from fear or from faith? Are we grasping for control or surrendering to love? Are we trying to fix people or are we entrusting them to Jesus? Friends, we are invited to know and experience that God is good. He's at work in us. And when the heat gets turned up, the Holy Spirit gently reveals the motivations for what we ask. He doesn't do this to shame us. He does it to transform us. As we're aware of our intentions, he develops us into people who can really love others the way we want to be loved. So when we know God's goodness, when he reveals our motives, that's when we can genuinely treat others the way we want to be treated. So the order of these verses, and really the whole Sermon on the Mount, is brilliant. Doug reminded us last week that Jesus' original audience would have heard all of this in one setting. No chapters, no verses, no breaks, no breaking it down for so many Sundays. Just Jesus masterfully leading them somewhere. And here in this section, he draws a clear and compelling connection between prayer, our motives, and how we treat others. Matthew 7, verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This verse doesn't just appear out of nowhere. It follows Jesus reminding us of God's extravagant goodness, that he gives us good gifts. It follows Jesus exposing what's really going on in our heart when we ask. And the verse starts with the word, so. Because God is that good, because he knows what we need, because he invites us into honest relationship, we get to treat people the way we want to be treated. This is a really different way to live. It's not surface level kindness. It's not just don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you, which was a common saying at that time in the ancient world. This is proactive, Holy Spirit empowered love lived out in our everyday lives. Here are some examples. Letting someone merge in traffic when you're in a hurry, just like you'd hope they would do for you. When we listen without interrupting, especially when someone is upset. When we put our phone away during a conversation to give someone our full attention. When we pick up after ourselves in shared spaces like at work or home. When we say thank you to people who often go unnoticed, like cashiers or janitors or delivery drivers. Or we can offer others the benefit of the doubt instead of assuming the worst. Maybe we check in with a friend who's going through something hard, even when we're really busy. Or what if we offer a really sincere apology when we mess up? Or we speak kindly about people, even when they're not around. Or we tip generously, especially when service workers are doing their best under pressure, or even when they're not, and we don't think they deserve it. Or we can say hello or smile at people instead of ignoring them. Or we can practice patience with customer service just like you'd want if the roles were reversed. Or we speak up when someone is being treated unfairly, just like we would want someone to speak up for us. And let's be honest, we can't live this way on our willpower alone. We live this way when our hearts are changed by God's goodness. We live this way when we invite Jesus to search our motives and reshape our desires. And as that transformation naturally takes place, we reflect God's character to the world around us. Because the word Christian means little Christ. What does it look like here and now to reflect his character in the way we treat others? And again, this verse says to treat others the way we want to be treated, and that comes after Jesus invites us as his followers to ask, seek, and knock, to trust that God hears and responds. Remember my friend I mentioned at the beginning, the one who lives this out in such a beautiful way. Something happens when we spend time with people who reflect God's heart. It's why we spend time with each other, because we start to rub off on each other. That's one of the reasons community is so incredibly important. That's something that we're hoping to do this summer with our one service and having space together after our time to engage in intentional relationships with each other. We can encourage each other and inspire each other to genuinely live out the golden rule in our everyday lives. If being around other Jesus followers begins to shape us, how much more are we transformed when we spend time with God, with the one who is the very source of all this goodness? And one of the ways, as we've talked about, that is most powerful in spending time with God is through prayer, through conversation. And starting next Sunday, as we move to our 1:10 a.m. service, we'll begin a six-week series exploring what's commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, and we'll be walking through that line by line for the next 6 weeks. And after that, we're going to jump back into and wrap up the Sermon on the Mount right after that in July. And after that, we have some ideas for what God might be up to next, but we'd love to hear from you. If you have thoughts about what you'd like to hear preached about in a series or a part of the Bible you think might benefit our church family, please talk or email Steph and myself. We would love to hear from you about this because we are a community. We get to do this together. Back to what's next. As we step into a summer of deeper connection and togetherness, we're going to take some time to discover how this short prayer, the Lord's Prayer, can be a powerful guide for our relationship with God. Because prayer is the most powerful, transformational, non-manipulative way we can influence the world for good. As we move toward this new season of community and simplicity, we're going to take a moment to ask ourselves and each other, who are we becoming? What are the kind of people that we want to be to those around us? So we're going to invite God to make us into people who genuinely live out the golden rule, not out of pressure, but because we've been transformed by his amazing and incredible love. So as I talked about a few minutes before, every single Sunday we have an opportunity to engage in something we call ministry time, and this Sunday is no different. So if you're able, I want to invite you to stand right now. And as we do that, I'm just going to create some space. I'm going to say, come Holy Spirit, which really is just a chance to remind ourselves that God is here and he's on the move. So come Holy Spirit. God, we welcome you here. We open our hearts, we open our hands, we open our minds to what you might have for us this morning. So I'm going to share a couple of things that I felt like God maybe highlighted leading up to today. One of those things might be, if you were here last week and asked for prayer but didn't receive healing, or maybe it was not full healing, I want to ask you to be really brave and consider asking for prayer for that physical condition once again. We're going to keep practicing asking, seeking, and knocking. So if you've been trained to pray, I'd love to invite you to come forward and be available for folks who would like to receive prayer. And some of us, there might be something that's holding us back from asking. Maybe we will relate to that clip with little James. Or maybe we've asked over and over again for something and have gotten worn out from asking so much and the prayer not being answered. If that's you, I also want to invite you to consider coming up to receive prayer. And then this may or may not be God. Sometimes I see pictures. That's just sometimes the way that God speaks to us. Like maybe we feel like a picture was dropped into our mind. And the picture that I saw was of just like really clenched fists. And then from that, like the impression that I got was that it was maybe really clenched fists of control. So maybe some of us, again, just have a really hard time with control, with really trusting and letting go. And I don't know if there's a specific thing in like life we might feel like we need to control. But if that's you, I also want to invite you to consider receiving prayer. And God's extravagant goodness really is available for all of us today. Maybe we've heard others say God is good, but life has caused us to wonder if that's really true. For some of us, God might be inviting us to open up our hearts to the possibility that we can trust his incredible love, even with the I don't knows and the unanswered prayers this side of eternity. For some of us, maybe we don't know what it looks like or haven't fully kind of surrendered our lives to Jesus. Let's be clear, none of us have fully surrendered our lives to Jesus. But maybe some of us haven't taken that step quite yet. If you'd like to do that, if you'd like to take a step towards surrendering your life to Jesus this morning, I'd like to invite you to pray with me right now, and there's going to be some words that are up on the screen. Jesus, I believe that you are good. You know me fully and you love me completely. I confess that I've tried to live life on my own and my motives haven't always been right. But today, I want to surrender to you. I receive your love, your forgiveness, and your way of life. Shape my heart to look like yours, kind, generous, and full of mercy. Teach me how to treat others the way you've treated me. I give you my life, Jesus. Make me new again. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want to also invite you to just come celebrate that with someone on our prayer ministry team. They would love to pray for you. When we say prayers like this, it really is just like a step. It's not some destination. It's not some like ticket into some like inclusive club. It really is just a step of saying, okay, I want to try this thing. And we're meant to do it within the context of community and help. And so we have folks on the prayer team who would love to come alongside you and encourage you in that. For whatever reason, maybe you're here this morning and you just maybe feel like, yeah, I could really use someone praying for me, coming alongside me. I'd love to invite you to consider coming up and receiving prayer. We're going to have